I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and welcome to episode number 22 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation and the Internet of Things become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Roscoe Patterson, founder of the Heart-Centered Moneymakers. Roscoe has helped hundreds of business owners discover their true passion, develop their vision, and then build a successful business on top of those. Roscoe spoke a lot about passion and vision in today's interview and shared some great insights with me. I learned a lot in this interview, and it's another fascinating and inspiring interview, and I hope that you will learn a lot too, so stay tuned. This podcast is sponsored by InnovaBiz, where we help smart, innovative business owners save time and money and grow their business by making their websites achieve more. Of course, at InnovaBiz, we do more than just build websites. We provide solutions to our clients' needs by leveraging the power of the internet in innovative ways. If you want to learn more, then go to innovabiz.com.au or contact me directly through the information on the website. Now, before we meet Roscoe, a quick competition announcement. This week's competition prize is actually awesome. Roscoe has very generously donated a ticket to his remote CEO workshop that runs for 3 days on the 4th to the 6th of December in Hawaii. That's right, in Hawaii. Now, you will have to organize your own travel and accommodation, but Roscoe has waived the $2,999 workshop ticket price for the winner of our prize today. Now, that's such an awesome prize, I think. I might even have to put in an entry myself. Seriously, though, stick around for details on how you can enter the draw to win that competition prize later on in the interview. Now, let's get into the Innovation Hive and get the buzz from Roscoe Patterson.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and it's a great privilege to have with me here today on the InnovaBuzz podcast, Roscoe Patterson, who is the founder of the Heart-Centered Moneymakers, and he's also a really exciting person. I've been researching on his background, so we'll learn a lot more about him today. But Roscoe basically helps people heal their relationship with money, so business owners, so that they can use that to improve their lot in life and their contributions. So welcome to the podcast, Roscoe.
Thanks for having me, Jürgen. It's good to be here.
It's a privilege to have you here. So now, before we learn a lot more about Roscoe and Heart-Centered Moneymakers and all the exciting things that he's doing there with his business partner, John Bellamy, who we interviewed a little while ago and who suggested that I talk with Roscoe, before we learn more about all of that, I'd like to announce today's prize, which is actually an awesome prize. Roscoe has very generously donated a ticket to his laptop lifestyle course. Now, that course is running on the 4th, 5th, and 6th of December. The value of that course is $2,999. Basically, it's going to be teaching business owners how to scale their business while managing cash flow, essentially, is what Roscoe has said. So I'll get him to talk some more about it later on, but it's about building an offshore team, about scaling your business, as I've said. And another awesome thing about that is it's going to be in Hawaii at that time of the year. Now, obviously, you have to get your own flights and accommodations there, but the seminar itself, Roscoe is donating, so that's fantastic. So stay tuned later on in the interview where you'll learn how to enter that competition. And Roscoe, I really appreciate you making that available to our audience.
My absolute pleasure.
Yeah. So before we talk about Heart-Centered Moneymakers and your journey there, I noticed that I normally ask my guest, when you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? Now, I noticed on one of your pages that you said when you were 5 years old, somebody asked you that, and you said simply that you want to save the world. So do you want to expand on that one for us?
Yeah, it was interesting because I kind of, when I was five, I didn't understand the question. They said, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I didn't know there was kind of like job titles or anything like that. So I just said, you know, I want to save the world, which in retrospect, I definitely want to contribute and give back to the world, I definitely don't think it needs saving now. I think it just needs edging along to progress and evolve in the right way. But yeah, that was my five-year-old sort of, I guess, weird response that just automatically came out as a, you know, I just wanted to help people, Jürgen. I think that's always been true for me and still is today.
Yeah. And so what's your background then? How did you get into business first? Did you have any corporate jobs or?
Cause I noticed I'm on the road from a tree that they'd fall off.
Oh, great.
So my product cost was zero and my profit was, you know, infinite.
Yeah. It's a good business model. And you're doing the cleaning up the street as well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So that was great. I had lawn mowing businesses, all sorts of computer businesses, all sorts of things before I even turned 18. And I haven't been in the past known for sticking to things. So I'm very great at starting projects. Until probably about 7 years ago when, you know, I started my coaching business. It's had a couple of names, but now Heart-Centered Moneymakers is the logo for life because I don't know if you know this, Jürgen, but I ended up getting it tattooed on my arm, the logo of the company, so that I don't change brands ever again.
That's one way to do it, yeah.
I had to make a commitment. And, I'd just constantly been in the entrepreneurial space and I did have a few occupations for a while in between there in my 20s, which were in real estate, and I did quite well in sales then. Kind of just loved selling property. That was very easy to do. Mm-hmm. Then from there, I went bankrupt personally in 2008, for the lack of a better term, cocky. In a good marketplace, and got myself to the point where I was too top heavy in property investments, and had to personally go bankrupt. And then I had to rebuild from scratch again in 2008 onwards, and learned probably the biggest lesson around money for me, which was, you know, I think most people's relationship with money is unconscious, Jürgen.
Yeah.
But if we sat people down, you know, in a marriage counseling type couch and put money at the other end of the couch and them at the other end of the couch and start talking about how they treat it, a lot of people's relationship with money is toxic. And it's something that I had to learn for myself by essentially just kind of, it was a little bit of an abusive relationship. I would have got locked up if that was a person. And yeah. I, so yeah. I had to kind of come full circle. But yeah, no, as far as corporate experience goes, we speak today, John and I speak for a lot of corporates and do a lot of workshops and plenary sessions for them. But no formal corporate training for myself.
Okay, well, that's an interesting journey. Obviously, you've got sort of the entrepreneurial gene in your blood, so to speak.
Definitely.
And certainly, I mean, I've got a corporate background, but, you know, I think it was a lot of the times when we had training courses in the corporate world, it was refreshing to have somebody like you come in that wasn't tainted, if you like, by all the constraints that, you know, you build up in your own mind as well in the corporate world. So it's quite fascinating. And I guess the partnership with John, who does come from a corporate background, is something that kind of complements one another really well.
Yeah, it's great synergy. It's my most difficult job to get John to turn things into plain English, and it's his most difficult job to get me to have a shave. it's a nice yin and yang.
Yeah. Okay. So corporate speak is still can get in the way, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So you went through a lean period then in 2008, I guess, coinciding with the global financial crisis as well. I don't know whether that had anything to do with it, but it's interesting you point out the relationship with money, because I guess we all you know, as we grow up, we build all these different beliefs. And, you know, I know certainly from my point of view, the belief that was instilled was, you know, work hard, do the right things, and, you know, you'll earn some money along the way, and then, you know, save that money and don't spend it wisely, but don't spend it all. And so when you get into business, you have to kind of change that mindset, don't you?
Yeah, there's on so many levels, you know. The word business, instantly the first thing that comes to mind is that you've got to take some level of risk, which is some level of investment, which, you know, you have to be very conscious or very aware of your relationship with money to be able to move through that in a way that actually grows your net wealth. You know, a lot of business owners end up in a business that essentially just created more debt for them than having a job. You know, like, they don't manage the cash flow correctly, and that's something major that I see in 95% of startups. Easily.
So how did, tell us about a little bit about what happened after 2008 when you declared bankruptcy, and how did you get yourself back up on your feet? And obviously that's a key part of what you now teach people in terms of the relationship to money.
Well, I've got to be really honest. I didn't get myself back up on my feet straight away. I had about a year and a half off, because I'd very much worked in, I guess, that worked my whole life to that point, and took some time off, to be honest, and just sort of reassessed.
Yeah.
Which I guess the most important sort of lesson or learning from that is the really connecting to what I stood for and what I wanted to essentially stand for and believe in and share, you know, essentially my message with the world. And I did spend a lot of time getting clear on what my message was, because all the businesses I'd had to date, and some of my toxicity with my relationship with money is I was focused on making the money rather than focused on serving, you know, an ever-growing number of people. And, you know, I was just essentially wanting more and more and more without trying to give more and more and more. And so for me, it was about really finding my message so that I could be in a role that I was inspired to get up every single day and give more and more and more rather than request more and more and more. So that was probably the monumental step. And then from there, the lesson that I learned in 2008, the major one was that it was very much a capital gain strategy. My strategy, I was building speccies. I was speculating and building, you know, house and land packages. And so I learned a big lesson about cash flow, because I had quite a bit of equity, but I had zero cash flow. So, you know, I basically spent a lot of time building business cash flow and did quite well. I mean, in my first year in my coaching business, turned over $765,000, which is great. In the first year of coaching business, that's kind of the 1% as far as, you know, first year results kind of go. And the biggest thing I then got taught was that, you know, to truly grow your cash flow, you need to focus on what is the things you're doing to serve people. And, you know, it's kind of a theme throughout, but if you want to essentially make more money, you need to have the intention to serve more people and then be a really good marketer and salesperson. Essentially, you need that skill set. It was a great journey.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of really strong messages there that come through for me. And the first one is, you know, getting clear on what your passion is and how you can contribute. And secondly, you know, focusing on how you serve people and from, I guess, by extension from what you're saying about cash flow, is how you serve them on an ongoing basis. Because, you know, if they keep paying you, then the cash flow is fine. But, you know, that you've got to keep serving, keep giving value for doing that. And then the third message is marketing that, so getting people to understand that, hey, this is what I'm passionate about, this is how I help, and communicating that.
Some of those bigger wake-up calls for me in that time too were around being heart-centered and the distinction of what that was for me. I literally had a friend where I was talking about business, and I was sitting with her in Bali, and I was telling her, you know, about, you know, our plans for the future and stuff like that. And literally out of nowhere, she open hand slapped me to the face, like physical slap. She's like, get out of your head and get into your heart, kid. I'm like, what? Yeah. What does that even mean? And then I'm like, I am in my heart. I'm like serving people. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And then again, out of nowhere, she's like, whack. And I'm like, ah. I was kind of like physically slapped. You know, some people are waking for the wake-up slap. I got the physical variation.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was kind of, I guess, the start of my journey of becoming heart-centered. And as I went along sort of discovering more about what that was for me, I saw this quote that the Dalai Lama wrote, which was quite interesting. And the Dalai Lama said, the Western world will be saved by the Western woman in the future. And essentially what I made that mean was that conscious capitalists, or when women, you know, essentially potentially women get into business, or more of the conscious capitalists start running the companies and the organizations of the world, that's when the world will start to shift.
Mm-hmm.
It is when people are focused on as much on profit as they are on contribution, and making more meaning whilst making their enterprise is going to essentially, you know, catapult this world forward and where it needs to go. Because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, not to get political, but the government's job is to kind of maintain and make sure that we've got roads, hospitals, you know, all those sorts of things. And by the time they're done, we've all seen the budgets, there's no money left over for them to think about the future. I think that's an entrepreneur's job.
Yeah.
I think it's our job to map the road of the future. And for us to do that, we have to kind of look at essentially, you know, conscious enterprise models, social business models and things like that, so we can start to, you know, tip that or change that.
That's an interesting take on it. And yeah, I mean, clearly the politicians, I mean, I find it quite frustrating, actually, that there's never a real vision that goes beyond the next election.
I think, you know, the system itself is designed in such a way that a visionary can't stay in power for long enough anyway. Couple of terms or so. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I think, you know, it can be inspiring for us as entrepreneurs to look at that and go, right, well, we can spend a whole lifetime growing a business that makes meaning and makes a contribution to humanity.
Mm.
And it gives us something to fight for.
That's great. So tell us then, in a sentence or two, what do you actually do at Heart Centered Moneymakers, or what does Heart Centered Moneymakers as a business do?
It's such an interesting it's really, you know, Heart-Centered Moneymakers is an interesting phase, Jürgen, and to say it in a sentence would be impossible, because it is still evolving right now. We just opened a physical center.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I was talking to John about that.
Yeah,
he was really excited because it was just before it was about to happen when I spoke with him.
Yeah, so I mean, we essentially, John and I are full-time mentors to business owners who are looking to grow a conscious enterprise they love. And we've recently opened this space where we've got a lot of meetup groups, a lot of different events running in the space, and we're really using that to create an ecology or an environment for entrepreneurs to come into, to get away from essentially their own ecology if it's not where they want it to be right now. And we're really just looking to set the space. The company vision, so to speak, is to have a number of these around the world. We're already looking at sites in Melbourne for our next one. And we're looking to essentially build, you know, a network of spaces where you can go internationally if you're, you know, a mentor, a coach, or a conscious entrepreneur who's looking to sort of escape, you know, like the kitchen table, or the, you know, or your partner nagging at you because you haven't taken the trash out whilst you're trying to do something really important on your business, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's 9 sentences long. Sorry, Jürgen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good, because I think I like the first sentence where you talked about, you know, acting as a mentor for businesses, and you talked about coaches and mentors as well, focusing on those, but you know, that are building conscious enterprise. So that's a good sort of thing that would get people saying, oh, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, for sure.
And I was certainly going to ask you about the offices or the spaces, as you call them, because I know that John was very excited about that when we last spoke.
Yeah, it's definitely something. I mean, we're still learning what it is. We've tried on a number of different things and had some amazing results, which we're really excited about. And we're still kind of figuring out the template, because it's you know, to put it into a label, like in an accountancy firm or a co-working space, you can't kind of put a label on it. It doesn't work yet. So we're still building the template and kind of figuring out that label. So it's kind of at a place where it's still evolving. So to give it a label is quite difficult.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that as well, because, you know, you describe it as spaces in the website, and it's kind of, it to me, it sounds a little bit like co-working.
Yeah,
a co-working space, but obviously, you know, from what you described there's a whole range of things that are much more than a co-working space.
Totally.
All right, so in terms of the services you provide then and how you go about that, tell us a little bit about your sales process and marketing, because you mentioned that before, that was one of the keys to your whole business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a very simple formula. We have, like, essentially a four-step formula that we run our whole business from, which is reach, convert, deliver, contribute. And the reach component is essentially, what can you just give? Like, give to your community. What information can you give, and how far can you get essentially that message to go? In our business right now, the way in which we reach more people is John and I are speaking probably 100 days a year at different networking events and functions around the country. And John, you know, just came back from Perth and Sydney last week. I'm off to Perth next week. You know, we've spoken a number on the Gold Coast in the last couple of weeks. So we're constantly out there speaking. Another way we're reaching more people constantly, which is working brilliantly at the moment, it's just meetup groups. I'm surprised at the reach that, you know, $12 a month on meetup.com can give you. It's kind of brilliant. We're having some great success there. A lot of joint ventures, you know, email swaps with other great, you know, trainers or providers who've got similar lists. That's definitely been something that's helped us reach more people. And LinkedIn and Facebook, you know, they're probably the main platforms we use right now. We are in the process, and probably even by the time this podcast is out, we'll have our heartcenteredmoneymakers.com out, which is a reach platform essentially we're building for a content marketing site as well. So yeah, they're sort of the strategies, and I definitely, without a doubt, and John would back me up on this, is the speaking is the quickest way to grow a company. It's just the number of leads you can get in a room. I mean, John spoke in front of 30 people in Perth just a few days ago and got, you know, 30 people 30 out of 38 bad. So, you know, it's definitely the quickest way to grow a business is speaking.
Yeah, that's awesome. 30 out of 30. Very persuasive speaker. And so how do you, it's interesting, the meetup groups also, so do you go and speak at meetup groups, do you?
No, we actually hold meetup groups.
Yeah, hold them, yeah, okay.
Yeah, at the center. So, like, I mean, having the center, the brilliant thing about that is that we can run as many events as we want now without having any excess costs, because we've already got the overhead, except things like staff. But we've been running, what we found really useful is the fringe things, not necessarily, like, we have the full business events. Like, a great event we have is called Serve, where people bring their laptops for 36 hours and we build an entire marketing funnel start to finish. But what we've been doing, the meetup groups, is doing like little 3 and 6 hour events. There have been things like come and build a vision board, or come and do a meditation, you know, to, you know, get clear on abundance or something like that. A lot of the fringe stuff has been working really well to fill the meetup groups. Another thing we're doing is we're just doing a co-working day, because we're not actually running the space as a co-working space, but we're doing like a day a month as a meetup group where people can just come and use it as a co-working space.
Okay.
So lots of little different fringe things. And what I found is that the things on the fringes are the things that sort of attract people in. People, when they go Google to grow their business, they don't go and Google, they don't necessarily go and Google what they should be Googling. They'll go and Google things like, how do I get things done faster? How do I get things done cheaper? How do I, and so what I found is use that to reach more people. Give them what they want, don't give them what they should be looking for, essentially. And then when you've got them, so when we've got them at, say, the meetup groups, we'll invite them to come to what we call in the next step of the process is a conversion event. So we'll invite them along to a conversion event, which is one like Serve, for example. And that's also a free event, so we go free to free. And that's something that's working extremely good because at that conversion event, you know, our conversions are extremely high. And because we've built such a community on the front end, and it gives people the ability to get to know, like, and trust you before you even offer them anything.
And yeah, that's right. And the serve is a full day event, I believe, right?
It's 3 days. It's 36 hours of a free event.
So by the time people commit that level of time, they're virtually sold on what you're helping them with, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I think the thing is that most businesses are afraid to give away their best IP. And Serve is potentially our best, is potentially our best IP in 3 days, just jammed in. And it was something that I personally spent over $70,000 on learning from different internet marketing trainings and different trainings. So we know that, you know, the processes that we teach inside our front end events is literally giving away our best IP. Yeah. So you really want to lead with the absolute best you can and have an abundance mentality, which says, you know, if I give away the best, then people are going to want to continue getting your help to implement the simple things as well.
That's right. Yeah. It's it always amazes me because I talk to a lot of people on their websites and say, you know, we have to have something that you give people in return for them sharing their email with you. And
yeah.
You know, there's always this feeling, oh, I don't want to give away something. And I give away the house. Because that'll actually give you more success than if you don't give anything away, or if you give something away that's of limited value, because then people won't.
Absolutely.
Really think that highly of you, yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, if I'd love it if you know they could live a day in lives of people like myself and yourself, Jürgen, who understand it. You know, Serve, for example. You know, at that event, we've had events where we've run where we've done as high as $3,800 a head in sales in the room, which is like astronomical. You know, for every single person that was sitting in the room. So, and that was at a free event. So, you want to kind of try on. If for anyone listening to this who's afraid to give away your IP, is the more you give, the more you can ask for. And you really can charge a lot more when you are in a position that allows you to be abundant. And let's be honest too, the more you give away, the more it teaches you to go and be at the leading edge beyond everyone else, and to have the next best thing coming because you've already given away the thing before it.
Yeah, I can't remember who said this now, but I remembered the quote and I thought that's fascinating. He said, give away everything you've got, your absolute best, because that forces you to innovate.
Yeah.
Because basically you've got to develop the next best thing.
Like totally. Totally.
Yeah, and the other one, of course, is you know, when you're teaching other people things like this and you're doing it for free, the amount of education, self-education you get out of that is invaluable. So, you know, if you approach it from that point of view, say, well, you're not actually doing it for free. You're actually doing it to further your own education in terms of, you know, what are your audience looking for? What are your customers looking for? Where are the opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think at the end of the day, too, you're going to, like, an absolute reality in this day and age is that if someone knew how to go and Google what it is you're giving away anyway, they can probably find it on Google or YouTube already.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it's not out there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I think people, you know, just need to essentially, you know, it's interesting. There's a metaphor I like to use, is that when people are trying to grow a business, you know, if you imagine your business as a seed, you wouldn't clasp it in your hands and suffocate it, you know, and that's essentially what a lot of people do with their IP. You need to, you know, fertilize it, water it, you know, give it sunlight. You need to share it with the world to get it to grow. And I think that's something that people really need to take on.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great analogy. All right. So I mean, you've talked a little bit about innovative. So what do you see as the most innovative thing about heart-centered moneymakers?
I think I'm going to kind of answer it with a question that's going to help people innovate. I think one of the most important questions for an entrepreneur, or as Michael Gerber would describe them, an entrepreneur is truly the visionary of a business. I think the most important thing for an entrepreneur is to have a grand vision. And I don't know if John shared this with you, but the vision for us is to have 50 of these centers throughout the world. And then when Richard Branson gets his act together and builds a space station, we want to have one up there too. So we literally, on our company vision board, we have a seminar room essentially in outer space. And one of the grand visions of our company is that essentially is to help, like, essentially the one word for us that describes our vision is perspective. We want people to be able to get perspective on their business and their lives. And we think we answered this question to figure that out, which I'll share with the listeners, which is, what is the one problem that humanity has to solve in the next 50 to 500 years to survive as a species?
Mm-hmm.
And that question really entices a visionary to think grander and beyond themselves and beyond their own life, because it essentially incites them to start thinking of things like technology and innovation and what are the things that are going to have to happen, you know, in order to solve that problem once they've decided what that problem is for them. So as a company, we decided that the problem essentially was is that people are stuck too much in their circumstances and their environment needs to change in order for the world to essentially change. So perspective was really our answer, or our, I guess, solution to that problem. And I think everyone needs to kind of really think about what is that one problem that their company vision is going to solve. And then dedicate their vision, their mission, you know, those vision and mission things that they put in every business plan are actually very useful when you start thinking in terms of inspiring visions like that. And then you can spend a lifetime building a mission around that. Mm-hmm. And I think we can learn a lot from the billionaires of the world, like Richard Branson. He's an exceptional example of a visionary, or some people like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
They're solving big problems. And I think that's, you know, if you want to grow a bigger business, you need to solve a bigger problem. And like I said before, you need to become a better at marketing and sales as well. But, you know, the first thing you need to do is have a humanity-sized problem to solve.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one-liner, actually. If you want to have a bigger business, you need to solve a bigger problem. I like that. Yeah, I like the whole concept, though, the grand vision that's inspiring. So, you know, looking at, well, what's the a big problem that humanity needs to solve in the next 50 to 500 years? And I'm sure if people think about it, there's at least one or two things that might come to mind.
Oh, and there's no right or wrong. Some people talk about, you know, ending slavery. Some people talk about, you know, having to have the internet connected everywhere in the world. Some people say saving the planet. Some people say populating out of space. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just about choosing which problem you're going to solve. You know, and then going after one.
Yeah, that's a really great way to put it. I really like that. So what do you see as the risks then in you know, because why don't people take that sort of approach, or why aren't people more innovative in their businesses? You know, what are the risks that are holding us back? And what are the risks that you see, and how do you kind of deal with them?
I think you need to innovate every single day. However, I think it's important to recognize the difference between something new and something better. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy to create something new. It's a lot harder to create something better.
That's right, yeah.
And so I think you need to innovate constantly. But I think I like – I think the importance of innovation, well, the risks of innovation rather, is that people need to constantly innovate, but they need to innovate towards a profitable model. I think the risk is when someone focuses on innovation without having the oxygen mask on, essentially, when it comes to their own cash flow center of their business. So I think the important thing here is innovate or iterate constantly to be growing your business and growing your reach and growing your message. And then it's going to be safe. If you're innovating without, and bills are piling up and things like that, then you're probably going to go back and make sure that you're innovating around the things that are purposeful, that are really hitting your key or core priorities right now.
Yeah, that's right. And that are aligned with that grand vision that you talked about.
Totally. Yeah. I think that the major risk that I see in innovation, though, is that is people just not considering, there's a lot of creative energy out there. There's a lot of people who have so much creativity, and if they channeled it to the actual problems rather than what they think their problems are, they'd get a lot further.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's definitely great advice. And I know we tell people that, we're an innovative company, but we don't innovate just for the sake of innovating. So it's about doing things better and getting more value out of what we do. So I think there's a lot of that in what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like kind of... innovation for the sake of innovation is probably just people being confused with what the purpose is of what they're doing.
Yeah. All right. So in terms of heart-centered moneymakers, the business, what do you have anything that keeps you awake at night that you worry about?
I think, right now, just this infantile stage, we're constantly iterating different templates and trying to figure out where this space is going, and we have a vision for it. We're very clear on where we want it to go, but it's definitely something that I'm contemplating and thinking about all the time. The thing, for heart-centered moneymakers that we're always looking at is extending our reach. Our conversions are really high, and it's only recently, probably 2 months ago, that John and I started focusing on our reach. Which I think is a smart thing. If anyone's starting out a business, you should get your conversions working properly first and then go reach more people, because driving them to something that doesn't convert would be kind of a waste of your time and energy. So we're definitely looking at, and our attention is firmly on reaching more people, which we've invested a lot in already, and we're having some success in it and just looking to grow upon that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So the reach is what you're working on right now. So how do you keep balance? Now, actually, I was reading something on your Facebook page the other day. Is this correct? You've just recently been married?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. That was on 21st of December last year, but that was, it's interesting. We had a engagement party, and we invited everyone round, and I got up and I spoke in front of the room and I said, sorry to disappoint everyone, but this engagement party is no longer an engagement party. It's now a wedding.
Okay.
So that was quite fun. And I definitely highly recommend anyone who wants to get married to do a surprise wedding, because you don't have to abide by everyone's rules. you get to do it the way you want to do it.
Okay. Yeah, that's fascinating. Cool. Yeah, good approach.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other, I guess, life news for me is I've got another son due any week now, probably either later this week or early next week. So that's kind of exciting as well.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. Yeah, I thought that was fairly new news, but I guess December is already last year.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I guess the, asking you what keeps you balanced and what you do when you're not working is an obvious answer.
Yeah, I mean, family is a big part of it for me. I think the other thing too, Jürgen, that keeps me balanced is, you know, beyond family. And I mean, family is quite important to me and close to my heart. But another thing that I do is really spend a lot of time on inspiring myself. And so to the point of kind of, you know, some people spend some time getting inspired, but I'm very active in getting myself inspired. For example, yesterday on Sunday, I took a day out for myself, which I do about once a month. And I literally watched a bunch of personal development movies, collected a bunch of thoughts and quotes and things that I wanted, collated them, spent some time getting some imagery in front of me, collecting things for my vision board. Like, I actively inspire mm-hmm. myself. Because what I found is that people who are motivated get some results. People who are inspired seem to be really winning in business. And, you know, motivation essentially is extrinsic forces. Inspiration is essentially intrinsic forces. So the more time you spend on you, the greater acceleration you get in your business. And especially when you're driving it rather than external forces or sort of responsively driving your business. So that's something that I've found has probably given me the most balance and helped me really stay in check is spending time on me actively, like I fill out worksheets that I've made for myself and, you know, like I actively work on myself.
Yeah, that's great advice. And also I like the idea of taking time out from the business, as it were, so put away all the day-to-day things that need to be done for that particular day and focus on the development activities or the planning or the vision, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Mm. Great. Have you read any interesting books recently that you could recommend to the audience?
I was just rereading E-Myth for like the 20th time.
You can't read that often enough, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to recommend a book and I haven't even read it yet. I just purchased a book called Blueprint to a Billion. And it's interesting. It's a research document, so I don't know how easy it's going to be to read. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to need to inspire myself to read it. But okay, it was a study of 1,000 companies. 375 of them became a billion-dollar business and the rest didn't. And it's a study of what those 375 companies did, and he's essentially boiled it down to 7 steps. So I'm really quite excited to read that book. Mm. Another great book I just read was Virtual Freedom by Chris Ducker. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's a good book, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great book. I quite enjoyed that as well.
So who wrote Blueprint to Billion?
Honestly, don't know. But
all right, I'll Google that one and we'll post the link to both of those books under the show notes.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and that's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, to get some great tips from your experience, and hopefully there'll be a great one-line answer that really inspires people.
So, sure.
So first one is, what's the number one thing you think anybody needs to do to be more innovative in their business?
Is to slow down and to get a macro view of their business, like step right outside of it. Literally imagine that space station that we want to build at Heart Center Moneymakers. Literally imagine going there and looking down at your business and like completely and utterly having a macro view of it, your problems.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I hadn't thought of the space station as a physical venue for doing that later on once you've realized that. But yeah, that could be the course you actually run there.
Totally.
Yeah. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
I think there's an interesting question I got from a spiritual mentor a bunch of years ago, which was, of all of the forces and things going on out there in the world, which of them breaks your heart the most? Mm-hmm. And that's been a really useful question for me, is to think about what breaks my heart over and over and over again, because I think someone can innovate really, really, really quickly when they stand for or they're fighting for something. And if you figure out what breaks your heart, you figure out what you're fighting for real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that passion thing again, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the old story of, you know, some people to go and make $1 million tomorrow would be a really difficult task, but then if you put the pressure on and put a gun to their loved ones, they'd figure it out a lot quicker.
That's right. Yeah. That reminds me of a story where it's a corporate training course we did once, and the coach that was running the course said, "Okay, you're up in the top levels of the Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, which I think was probably the highest building.
It was like the Mission Impossible movies filmed there or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I think it was actually there was an entrapment by with Sean Connery was there as well. But anyway, so you know, he said, and imagine this T-beam that's about 30 centimeters wide, spanning between the two towers. And I'm at the other end, and I've got $1,000, and I want you to walk across there, and I'll give you the $1,000, and would you do it? And of course, everybody says no. I say, okay, well, I'll make it $100,000, you know, and then, you know, most people still say no. He said, I'll make it $1 million, and then he might get one or two takers, but the majority is still not going to walk across there and take a risk of falling down. And then he says, okay, now I've got your firstborn here, and I've got a gun to their head, and would you walk across? And of course, everybody would walk across. So that's that, as you say, it's that passion thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's what you stand for, or what you, you know, you stand against. And the clearer you are on that, the quicker you are to solutions.
Yeah, great. So what's the favorite tool or system that you have for doing more innovation, if indeed there is one?
Workflowy.com really comes to mind.
I love that.
I think for a lot of entrepreneurs and leaders in the world that are out there innovating, their heads are too full. And if you want to create more, then you need to create more space firstly in your brain to be able to do that. And I think Workflow is a great place to be able to organize that. Along with you know, using any of your other sort of note taking tools, but I think that's just good to organize from a bullet point top level sort of perspective, and before you go into detail, and then you can go into great detail on there as well.
That's right. That is an awesome tool. I use that. I've been using that for, I think, from the time that launched.
I love it.
And there's the free version. I mean, the free version is essentially fully functional, and I think I paid all of
$5 a month is the paid one.
Yeah, some like that for, you know, a whole lot of awesome features, and it's really powerful. Like Roscoe says, you can bullet point everything, keep reminders, you can tag things going through, which makes it very powerful. So there's a whole range of little things to do there.
Great? It's incredible. It is incredible.
So what's the best way you see to keep a project, or I guess a client, on track if you're coaching a business? And
best way I see to keep them on track, you know, it's such a case-by-case basis, to be honest, but I think the first thing with any of them is, you know, like, is really priorities. You know, like, I think the villain or the enemy of the entrepreneur is entanglement. And disorder in their life, and it's kind of our job as a coach or a mentor to create order in their priorities again, and I think that's where generally our attention goes, is to creating order in their priorities.
Yeah, okay, that's really good advice. So yeah, we've talked about a few shiny objects as we're going through this interview, but you know, we need to keep that shiny object syndrome under control and focus on our priorities.
Totally. And I mean, whilst we have a grand vision, you know, our priority list every single day, you know, is very much focused on, to, you know, creating, you know, cash flow so that we can afford a space station.
Yes, that's you've got to keep that in your mind. All right. What do you see as the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Lead with their vision. And have a unique vision, without doubt. You know, like, just is choose a problem that humanity needs solving and lead with your vision around that.
Yeah, that's great advice. And there's a theme coming through here, isn't there? Having a strong vision is key to a lot of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the old saying of, you know, when the why is strong enough, the how will show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had this vision of that space station 6 years ago, and now we've got a center, and, you know, we're rolling out different models to make it an actual, you know, like we've got a business plan in place for how to roll these centers out where we acquire the real estate as we go. Mm-hmm. And grow our wealth, you know, with cash flow and with capital gains through the property strategy as well. So you've definitely got to be clear on that why, because more hows will show up to you each and every day if you've got a stronger why.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice. All right. So what's the future for heart-centered moneymakers? You've talked a lot about the space station. What other things do you see there?
Look, I mean, the future for us, one thing we're going through the process of right now, and we haven't hit the nail on the head yet, and we're, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to implement a social business model, which is essentially, you know, there's a few different models that people can do. You probably see some things like thank you water in the stores of the supermarket, where for every bottle of water you buy, that purchases water for someone in a third world country. We haven't quite figured out what our social business give back model is, but that's definitely something that's on the cards and something we've been really thinking about ferociously is what we're going to do in that contribution space and getting our head around that. So we're on a learning curve around that right now.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you're looking to build those 100 spaces around the world before we get to the space station.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
All right, and what do you see as the role of the Internet of Things in your business?
The role of the Internet? I mean, the Internet's a medium for us to get people face-to-face. We do really want to build the physical communities. I think the enemy of a lot of entrepreneurs is mainstream media and their computer and their TV. So we want to get people back together physically. So we're using it really as a tool to hang out with people physically. But I think the internet, you know, look, we've got 3.5, I saw a study recently, we've got 3.5 billion people coming online in the next 4 years from developing countries, just with the work that they're doing to put internet into those developing countries right now. Which is going to shift it, and we're going to see a massive shift in the cost of workforce. Even, you know, like we've got, you know, great outsourcing organizations in places like the Philippines right now, but I think we're going to see the uprising of a few other competitive kind of nations around that as well. We're seeing some already in sort of Ukraine and stuff like that. So I definitely think that it's going to shift the relationship everyone has to work. I don't think people will work in offices so much anymore. I think they'll have freedom with their laptop as the internet continues to grow.
Yeah, that's definitely a growing trend, isn't it? And it's a good segue into the prize, actually, and which, you know, Roscoe has very generously donated a ticket to his laptop lifestyle course, which talks very much about working like we've just talked about,
with
offshore teams, working from anywhere and scaling and so on. But I'll let Roscoe describe that in a little bit more detail before I tell you what we want you to do for that to be in the prize draw.
Yeah, well, essentially, I mean, it is about building a laptop lifestyle. The name of the training is actually Remote CEO. But the idea is to build that laptop lifestyle where you can manage a business anywhere in the world and to be able to sort of be flexible, to be able to be have a lifestyle and a business you love at the same time. And one of the things that we really teach inside of Remote CEO is how to grow a team. And interestingly enough, the word company, the etymology of that word means a large group of people. So if you're looking to grow a business or a company, then you need to become a leader and really step into that role and resource yourself with a lot of great people around you. So we'll talk about how we do that, how we manage them with different tools, you know, like we use Slack and Trello and all sorts of different things and show you workflows and essentially processes to manage your team. And we're doing that in Hawaii, so that'll be fun. Make sure that we make you do the hula or something when you're there.
Yeah, and that's 4th, 5th, and 6th of December this year. Yeah.
Yep.
So what what we want you to do to go into the draw for that awesome prize. Now, remember, you have to get your own flights and accommodation there. So the value of the prize, the ticket for the workshop, is $2,999. To be in the prize draw for that awesome prize, we want to find out from you, if you can be working from anywhere in the world, where would that be? And secondly, what's stopping you from doing that? So leave your comments underneath the blog post, underneath the podcast post, and tell us, or tell Roscoe, you know, if you could be working from anywhere in the world, where would that be? And why aren't you doing that now? Unless, of course, you are doing it. If you are doing it, then just tell us that you are. And I'll get Roscoe to swing by in a few weeks' time and pick a prize winner. How's that?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so that's great. So finally then, right, well, actually two more questions. So first of all, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and productivity and, you know, running a really good company?
I think the one piece of advice would be, again, slow down and just do what you actually need to do. Like, the quickest way to accelerate your results is to stop being so busy.
Yeah, that's great advice, isn't it? And people find that counterintuitive, but it definitely works.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way a lot of people fluff around in their working style. You know, they spend 38 hours a week doing 2 hours of actual work. And it's kind of, if you really want to accelerate your results, if you just slow down and did, you know, the 4 hour work week, essentially, if you only had 4 hours a week you could work and you had to fit 38 hours into it, how would you work in those 4 hours? You'd slow down and you'd do one thing at a time, you'd obviously in small chunks of time. But you'd be very focused.
Mm, that's right. And you'd certainly pick the really important things that make a difference.
Yeah.
All right. And finally then, who would you like to see me interview on the podcast in future and why?
I'm not sure if you've interviewed him, but I think he's an exceptional gentleman. Mr. Chris Duncan, have you spoken to him before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, cool. He's just finished writing a book called The Total Freedom Blueprint. Mm-hmm. And he's just, you know, got a great location, independent business, and he's quite an inspiring gentleman. And I think listeners would find it quite interesting to hear what he has to say around freedom and that being, I guess, a pathway to becoming more innovative too, because, you know, the more free you are, essentially, the more time you've got to spend thinking about those innovation.
That's right, yeah. So, okay, so Chris Duncan, I'm coming to get you for the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Roscoe Patterson. So, Roscoe, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for your time here. Where can people reach out to you and say thank you?
HeartCenteredMoneyMakers.com is our website, and look, connect with us on there, both mine and John's website. And also, you know, essentially just if you're on the Gold Coast right now, we've only got a Gold Coast Centre, but come along to one of the meetup groups. And you can find all of them at www.hcmm.club/meetup. That would be cool to physically meet you as well.
Okay, that's great. So we'll post those links underneath the show notes as well. And so I did neglect to mention, I think, at the start of the interview that you were from the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia.
Yep.
So that's, you know, if somebody's visiting there, go and check out the Heart-Centered Moneymakers spaces or space there.
Yeah, talk to people face-to-face.
Yeah, that's right.
In human version.
Exactly, yeah.
That's good.
All right, Roscoe, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. I've learned an awful lot. I hope our audience does as well, and I really appreciate the time you've spent with us today. So I'm going to watch out, see who gets to go to Hawaii for the laptop lifestyle thing. I might put in an entry myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Jürgen. It's been brilliant spending time with your audience.
Thanks, Roscoe.
I hope you enjoyed meeting Roscoe as much as I enjoyed interviewing him. I certainly took away a lot of lessons from the discussion, and I hope you did too. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/Roscoe Patterson. That is RoscoePaddison. All lowercase, all one word, no funny hieroglyphics or anything, innovabiz.com.au/Roscoe Patterson. Now, we'll have all of the links and everything that we spoke about in this episode at that particular URL. Remember, leave your comments underneath the video or underneath the blog post, because we've actually changed from doing videos to going all audio now. So leave your comments underneath the blog post for your chance to win a ticket to the 3-day remote CEO workshop in December. Who knows, you could be heading for Hawaii. In your comment, tell us where in the world would you work from if you could work from anywhere? And if you are not yet working from there, what is stopping you? And I'll get Roscoe to swing by in a few weeks' time and award that prize. Now, Roscoe suggested I interview Chris Duncan, the author of The Total Freedom Blueprint and co-founder of Point B Education, on a future podcast. So, Chris, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from me for the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Roscoe Patterson. Thank you to my listeners for supporting the InnovaBuzz podcast. We'd love you to review us because reviews help us to get found, but also your feedback helps us to improve. You can review us on iTunes or Stitcher. And while you're there, please subscribe so you'll never miss a future episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.